Well, if you notice, I just have one scripture here at the beginning of the sermon, Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Every once in a while, I come upon a person in the Bible that most people have never heard of. And that includes some of us, right? Anybody here ever feel as though you're overlooked, as though you maybe don't matter, as though what you do makes no difference in this world sometimes, right? Sometimes we may not think we're all that special to God or can be used by God or all those kind of negative things that the world tries to tell us or the devil tries to tell us or others around us try to tell us. But I'm here to tell you that everybody has a purpose to be used by God. Might be one time that God uses you to make a huge difference in someone else's life. So just keep that in mind. Such is the story of this morning. Shamgar is the man's name. After Ehud, Shamgar, son of Anath, rescued Israel. That's a pretty good verse, right? He once killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Wow. What's that, Pastor? What's an ox goad? Let me give you a little backdrop on this. There were 12 judges in the Old Testament times. The Israelites, if you read Judges, sometimes can be a depressing book, I must admit, because over and over it says, once again, the Israelites sinned in God's presence. Once again, they did whatever they thought was the right thing to do. But then we also see another verse that goes along with that. Every time the Israelites messed up and the enemies came against them, God sent a rescuer every single time. They were called judges. In fact, the word judge means to rescue, to deliver. So there were 12 of them, much like the 12 disciples, right? You see how the numbers always matter in the scriptures as well? And Shamgar was one of those people. He's in between when Joshua had died, all the Israelites, they lost that leader. They just went scurried every which way. They didn't follow any of the rules and the regulations that were set forth by Moses and Joshua. If you do these things, God will bless you. If you don't, you're in trouble. They didn't pay attention to the you're in trouble thing. When they got in trouble, they cried out to God. God sent a rescuer. Isn't that just like God to do that, right? Anybody here obey God every single time? No? Do you get in trouble once in a while? Yes? And what happens? God sends a rescuer. That was Jesus Christ, right? And then he also sent the next rescuer, which lives in us, the Holy Spirit. So we have an advantage over all these people back then. But needless to say, Shamgar was actually a farmer. That's why he had an ox goad. He often would plow the fields with those oxen. And what an ox goad was, it was about a 6 to 9 foot pole. I can't make my arms go that far. 6 to 9 foot pole. On one end was a sharp point to poke at those oxen, get them moving forward. And on the other side was a spade, where they could clean up the plow behind them because stuff would get in it. So that's how the farmer farmed. Shamgar was a farmer. And the Philistines were attacking the Israelites over and over. You remember the Philistines from David and Goliath? You remember the Philistines from all the times they've destroyed the things of Israel? They were still on the hunt trying to destroy Israel. And there were 600 left. And so Shamgar, the farmer, picks up that ox goad as those Philistines were coming to terrorize. And back then, by the way, there were no weapons. All the Philistines had taken all the weapons away from the Israelites. So the only things they could fight with were their hands, their feet, maybe a stone or two like David, or an ox goad. An ox goad. So basically what happens is as this judge is praying to God, asking God to help them as the rescuer that he was. The Philistines came upon that farm trying to take it over. They were trying to devour the land. And what does Shamgar do? Kills all of those 600 with that one ox goad. Something, isn't it? So do you need a special tool to defeat the enemy? No, could be an ox goad. 8 foot long, about 6 inches in the diameter, a lot heavier than probably what I could lift, and I don't know how far I could carry it. But this farmer knew how, right? He had the right tool in his hand to protect himself and also to set the Israelites free. So shortly after that, we see, as we get to the book of Judges chapter 9, you might remember Gideon defeats the Midianites. So the Israelites are constantly fighting off somebody else. And this one of Gideon's sons, Abimelech, actually hated his father. It was one of Gideon's other wives that had Abimelech. And so he killed all 70 of Gideon's children. An evil, evil man. Wow, I was right. Thank you for that. So I'm going to pick up the story in verse 50, because Abimelech, what he wants to do, he wants to be king of Israel. He doesn't want to follow the judge or judges at the time. What he wants to do is take over and become and terrorize his own people and all the people around him. So he goes to various towns and starts destroying them. He burns them to the ground. He destroys all the people in them. And in verse 50 of Judges chapter 9, then Abimelech attacked the town of Thebez and captured it. Let me backtrack. Right before that, he attacked the town of Shechem. And he burnt the tower to the ground. Shechem was a city that worshipped Baal. And all the leaders of the city went into a tower. And that tower was a place that they worshipped Baal, the pagan god. And Abimelech set it on fire from the bottom and killed 1,000 men and women in that tower. Then he goes to Thebes and captures it. But there was a strong tower. There was a strong tower, inside that town, a tower that worshiped God, the God of Israel. And all the men and women, the entire population of this town ran into it. They barricaded themselves inside, climbed up to the roof of the tower. Abimelech followed them to attack the tower. But as he prepared to set fire to the entrance of that strong tower, a woman on the roof dropped a millstone. Bam! Splat is right. On Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Ooh. I know it sounds gross, but this is an evil, terrorizing man. You deserved it. That's correct. Thank you. When the enemy comes against God's people, you see what happens to the enemy. Jesus Christ crushed the serpent's head, right? In the New Testament? That's right. In this case, a woman on the roof dropped a millstone that landed on his head. The millstone, most millstones were about 1,000 pounds if you actually were in a granary. This one would have been a smaller millstone you kept in your house, maybe 20, 30 pounds. So they use it to still grind wheat and such like that, grain. We have little baby ones today that we grind stuff up in, right? Peppermint, you know, right? Okay, get the picture, but it was made of stone. Drops it on the man's head. He quickly said he wasn't dead yet. Sorry. It's going to be okay. He quickly said to his young armor bearer, draw your sword and kill me. Don't let it be said that a woman has killed me. Oh, my goodness. Is this guy like, I'm not going to use any words. So the young man ran through him with a sword and he died. The end. When Abimelech's men saw that he was dead, they disbanded and returned to their homes, never to attack the Israelites again. One bad leader can do a lot of damage, can't they? Evil needs to be destroyed, doesn't it? So this is evil at work here. So what we see here, in my mind, we see two different stories, but solved in the same way, don't we? We see a man that's a farmer who uses an ox goad to annihilate 600 of the last enemies of Israel and rescue them. He used an ox goad. Then we see on this particular story a woman that takes a millstone and drops it. I came to the conclusion, use what you have at your disposal to defeat the enemy. And it may be something in the physical, yes. Sometimes we go into warfare and we've got to clean up messes sometimes, physically speaking. We might need to hand out food to overcome the enemy of trying to go against impoverished people and stop them from eating. So instead, we hand out food. That's the tool we use, is it not? To bring good, right? And sometimes we use things like prayer, faith, hope, trust, strength, courage, whatever it is at our disposal, spiritually speaking. Ephesians 6 refers to it as the armor, right? The armor of God. The word of God. The sword. All those things. Here's the thing. In each of these cases, God put the right person at the right place for the right time. A farmer just happened to be mowing or plowing his field with his oxen. Had an ox goad with him, just doing his daily chores. There he was. And 600 Philistines came upon the city. And the man takes those Philistines down. While he's doing what he's doing, using the tool that he has, he thought it was a regular, ordinary kind of day, right? Just out there farming. Some days you might be just out there at your job. You might just be out there at your place of business. You might be out there in school. You might be out there on Facebook. And all of a sudden the enemy comes and you're at the right place at the right time. If you see something, hear something, or look at something that's evil coming against people, lies, rumors, fear, doubt, all those kind of things, that negativity that surrounds us all the time throughout our culture today. When you see those negative words out there, right? We see them. Anybody ever see them? We see you all too many, or we're not inundated with it. The hatred that's out there. The division that's out there. But we're all in the right place at all times, every single one of us, to come against that with prayer, with a loving heart. Not to fight fire with fire, but to bring the good news of the gospel to other people and to show mercy and grace to others. That's the New Testament teaching. Because our great rescuer, Jesus, took care of the enemy once and for all, who has no power over us. And we don't battle with flesh and blood. But each of us have a place in this world, whether you know it or not, you have a place to do your part with what you have at the moment. Because what I have and what you have are two different things, are they not? Some days. But maybe we all have some of the same thing, right? So together as a church body in a community setting, all of us together are an army that no enemy can defeat, right? But the key is this. We have to be in where? As the second part of Judges 9 was. That strong tower. That strong tower. This place, this place called Christ the Cornerstone Church, is a strong tower where the presence of the Lord lives, where the power of God is, where all things can be changed and people can grow, things can be overcome, enemies can be defeated, enemies like to our soul and to our heart and to our mind, enemies that plague us in our head, you know, those thoughts that are out there that try to tell us we're not enough or we don't matter or God doesn't want us or that we don't belong in this place. Guess what? The Word of God tells us otherwise. That's why you have to know the word. In fact, I think the greatest, most powerful tool you have, it might not be an ox goad, and it might not be a millstone. It's right here, the word of God. The word of God. This is the place you run when you have questions. This is the place you run when you have doubts. This is the place you run when you're afraid. This is the place you run when you think you're not worthy. This is the place you run when you need peace. This is the place you run when you need safety. This is the place you run when you need rescue. This is the place you run when you need eternal life and salvation. This is the place you run when you need freedom from addictions. This is the place you run when you need freedom from pain and sorrow and grief. This is the place you run for everything you need. This is the place. This is your strong tower. Because the name of the Lord is in here. And where does it need to go from here? Oh, in your heart. In your mind. It needs to be behind your eyes. I got so many scriptures up here, sometimes it's blurry when I'm reading my Bible. I try to preach about this, and some other scripture comes in front of my face. That's the Holy Spirit doing it too, for your benefit. And some people say, oh, it's a bad place, this Bible. I think this is a rescuing place right here. Even in the book of Judges, the Israelites were constantly messing up. And God could have said, I'm done with you. But what does God do instead? Sends a rescuer. Sends a healer. Sends a helper. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. When you call on the name of the Lord, and there's all kinds of names for the Lord, are there not? Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh, G-D, because God is too big to even have an O hold him. The name of the Lord means mercy, grace, patience, power, abundant goodness and truth, and forgiveness. See, when we're forgiven, that's how God changes his mind, right, about what we deserve. And says, no, I'm gonna give them a free gift. They can't even earn it. They can't be good enough to earn it. But I'll give it to them anyway, because that's how much I love them. This is the book of love right here. Acts 2:21 says this. Should you ever wonder whether or not you're someone God wants to save? Because sometimes there's certain religions or certain people out there that try to say only these people. Only the perfect people. Oh, that's no people. There are none. Oh, sorry, there's no people then. But what Acts 2:21 says this, hold this in your heart. Everyone, can I hear it? Who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone, anyone, all of us, all of you, including you and me, no matter who we are, what we've done, where we've been, what we are, we can be a man or a woman and be used by God. We can be old and young. And as soon as I'm old, I'll tell you. But needless to say, all of us. We don't need any special, well, all we need is to be who God created us to be. And to use the tools at hand that God gave us. Each and every one of you, and not everybody's here from our church, but there are a lot of people in our church who use their gifts and talents and selves in their own unique way every single day. And for those of you that don't, watch out, because God is giving you this message this morning to tell you you're going to be at the right place, at the right time, for the right moment, for you to make a difference and be a rescuer to others. And that rescuing may be as simple as saying, come into this church, or call on one of our pastors, or let me pray with you. Or let me tell you my story of where I was before I found this God. All of us are in need of God, are we not? All of us are still being attacked out there by the negativity that's around us, correct? How are we going to confront it, and how are we going to just make it disappear? Through Jesus Christ, through the name of the Lord, through a prayer, through us being the good that overcomes evil, because good always overcomes evil. Always. Where does that good come from? And where is God? In my heart. So we all have what we need, don't we? We have it. We have it in here, don't we? We have the power of God in us to change our world for the better, don't we? To overcome all the evil that's all around us with good acts of love, right? Yes? Now the question is this, my friends. Are you going to use what you have? Anybody here need an ox goad? How about a millstone? How about this? Open it daily. If you have questions about it, there's more than enough of us to try to explain it to you. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I know God can have already explained it to you anyway. But we're happy to help you with it. But you can see how one verse, the man Shamgar, which meant stranger, was someone God used to rescue Israel. All of your names can be used by God. And on the other side of that, when you're afraid, when you're in need, when you're hurting, when you're lost, when you're sad, when you're confused, run into this tower. Run into this tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and you'll find him right in here, but also right in here. So bring people to that tower as well. Amen. Amen.